Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, 90 minutes gone. All right. Shalom, good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Swear Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Bishaba. I'm one of the teachers here with the ISBHBK. That is the Israelite School of Biblical History, Practical Knowledge. Welcome. Hi, brothers and sisters, families. Please forgive me. Tonight, once again, Blog Talk was pushed back 30 minutes and almost 45 minutes. Please forgive. My vision is really, really, really bad. Matter of fact, I forgot to send out the notice for the show. Goodness. Everybody, please forgive. It's going to be more of a effing delay. Making sure I still don't know what the hell I'm doing. One second. All right. We're going to try this once again. Apologies. My apologies again. I've let it get away from me. Dealing with macular degeneration, and yes, I'm on the herbs. I'm on the bilberry. I'm on the ubiquinol. I'm taking herbs for it, as well as my diabetes and everything. And it's just gotten to the point where my vision is really bad, to where the night driving is done, and even my day driving is done. So it's really hard just to get things accomplished. So I do, please forgive. Again, by no means does it represent my 30 years in this knowledge. It makes me look like a real amateur. It really truly does, and it does make me feel bad that for the amount of listeners I used to get tuned in to, the amount of listeners I have now, I know the Most High is getting me for it. I know that these are the consequences, and it's all my fault. I'm not blaming nobody else or what have you. It's my fault that I'm not finding better ways. I can't let it stop me. Paul found a way to get it done. Whatever thorn was in his flesh, whatever infirmity was in his flesh. So I got to come back and make sure I get the same thing done. So with that, last time me and Yanalta tried to get this show together, we were having a lot of technical difficulties. So I went ahead and turned off my Wi-Fi from my phone from a suggestion of my wife, Yasalaya, that maybe there's too much stuff being pulled off the Wi-Fi. And this is why we're having the problems that we're having. So I turned my Wi-Fi off on my phone. We're just using a computer right now. And hopefully this will get things together. So with all that being said, I know last show that we did, it was real choppy. That right when we started to get a flow going, it would stop. We'd be cut off. And again, which was just as frustrating on our end. For anybody who might be trying to listen, to try and catch what was going on, for us to have to keep starting over and what have you, it's frustrating. So, with all that being said, I'm asking you, and I'm going to find here reading with me. Please give me Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Let's get the book of Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. All right, so this is one of the scriptures that we normally start a lot of our shows with, well, our classes with, that it's important that we read, right? If we're going to deal with the Most High on anything, if we have any questions and we're seeking for answers, then we've got to make sure we're reading them out of the Bible. The reason this is important, if we come back and examine why this is important, for the 500 years from 1492 to the 1900s, we as a people, the sort of Negroes, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, are the Kenyans, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and Mexicans here in the Western Hemisphere. it was necessary for the colonists to make sure we had no connection with our history, with our origins, with our language, and that we had no connection with the Bible as Hebrew Israelites. So the forcing of us to learn English, Portuguese, Spanish, Creole, French, or what have you, to strip us from our native language, that it was important that was done to keep us divided. I'm sure y'all are familiar with Psalms, the 83rd Psalms, where it says, the enemies of the Lord have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. The name of Israel may be no more remembrance. So to make sure that we were divided even further and that we had no connection with the Bible, we had no connection with our history, that from 1492 until present, we were indoctrinated with their religion and their language. But in doing so, they kept us illiterate. So a lot of things that were imposed upon us is not because it was actually read from the Bible. It was their demonic, satanic design to take elements from our history, take elements from the Bible, and completely whitewash them. Not just in the icons that we left of ourselves in Jerusalem, in Israel, all over Europe, all over Russia, all over Germany, all over England. We got to make sure that the actual images that we left, that they got whitewashed, what was called iconoclasm, but even how the Bible is looked at, how God is looked at, was completely whitewashed to only see it from a colonizer's way. So that now even the whole concept of heaven and hell, that to look at how we're not enjoying the luxuries, the riches, the comfort while living here on earth, they forced upon us in this 500-year period that we need to look for heaven to be up in the sky. Now, while they were living, I mean, as like a pig in mud, they was literally had, they had the ease and the best of everything and had us as slaves, had us as servants, and they enjoyed white privilege to its fullest. That to make sure we didn't look at that, it was forced upon us. No, heaven is a place where we'll be with the angels, floating in the clouds, eating milk and honey. Even though if you consume milk and honey, that's a laxative. Don't look at that or the reality of it, that we got to be little naked baby angels floating on the cloud with a harp and just floating in the clouds forever. That's what heaven's going to be like. But on earth, the fact that they get to enjoy all the power, wealth, luxuries, ease, can make laws up as they go, never be found guilty for if they murdered us, raped us, brutalized us, that not to look at that as heaven, but being forced upon us through religion, that now we got to look for heaven coming in the sky. We got to look for Peter and the pearly gates. And that's going to be when we have heaven. And that's where everybody's going to be at. And if we want to get there, then we have to be subservient. We better ask any questions about what they've been teaching about God, about Jesus, about heaven, about morality, about civility. We better not question. For 500 years, that was imposed, has been imposed upon us heavily, to where we did not get a chance to actually read what the Bible said. Conditioned to be completely whitewashed. So every concept of God, of salvation, of heaven, of hell, of what's civil, what's moral, what's justice, what's injustice, even to what profanity is, has been only given to us from the perspective of white people, colonizers, forced upon us. And yeah, they even had to enforce it or give it to their own people who've never read the Bible. So our whole concept even of what it means to be Christian, our whole concept of what we think it means to be, what Christianity is, again, it's been given to us by colonizers, not through from the minds and from the spirit of God, how he originally wrote it in the beginning, but through the mindset of colonizers, to keep us away from what's really being said. What's the true intent? What is God really talking about? To where our minds have not been so conditioned from generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation of having these lies imposed upon us, that now when we come back and actually now see what the Bible says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Now, if we have any answer or any questions, it's imperative that now we come back and we actually read what it says. If, for example, you know, when we first come in to this knowledge, one of the first things that ever showed to us is the true color of Christ. What the Bible says Christ looked like. And we always ask people and challenge people and challenge ourselves for what has been given to us for the past 500 years since Christopher Columbus and the first white man America and brought their idea of religion, whether it was Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, Holy Rollers, whatever idea of religion, Catholicism, that they brought a white Jesus. And since we couldn't read, all we had were the pictures that they forced us to look at. The pictures they drew in the Bible of seeing a white Adam, of seeing a white God, of seeing a white Eve, of seeing a the serpent obviously was either red or black, wrapped around the tree. So now our idea of the serpent in the garden is a snake. Not that it's a person who speaks lies, like the so-called white man bringing his religion. Don't look at that. Look for a snake. When it comes to Adam and Eve, for generations that they ate the apple. But when we actually go back and read, it'll tell you what fruit it was. But many of us are believing that because Adam and Eve ate an apple, that is what got them kicked out of paradise. But yet at the same time, then we're talking about Johnny Appleseed, some white man who's going out just planting seeds, apple seeds, all over America doing a great thing. If the apple is what caused the sin, why are we still eating apples then? Why is the apple pie the American favorite? Shouldn't apples be condemned? Apples be anybody's found growing an apple or an apple tree, drinking apple juice should be shot on sight? If we go by the perspective that was given to us by white people when they first got here. So we're going around with all these lies and deceptions in our mind, because we have not been reading the Bible. That one, that was going to happen. When we read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, then we jump down to verse 64. Now we jump back up to, when you read 49 down, it tells you how the Lord will bring a nation against us from far, whose tongue we would not understand, and that they would be having us serving wood and stone. The cross, or money, or even Islam, that they would be they would make sure we had no connection to our true God, but only from their perspective, and that we would only understand Christianity from their perspective, but not from how Christ truly was. So we come back and we teach people, and we show people the color of Christ, that as opposed to what images was forced upon us, to believe that this is Christ and his 12 disciples sitting at the Last Supper. This is Christ holding a sheep. This is Christ talking to a tree where Nicodemus was. That Nicodemus was a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree to see if we could see. Even the gospel songs and the church songs we learned were deceptive. You never read about Nicodemus being on a tree in the scriptures? But we have all these songs and these things that was given to us that had nothing to do about when we actually read the Bible. When we read the Bible as opposed to what's been forced upon us, we see there's obviously a difference. We see that someone's lying, and somebody's been lying for a long time. So with that being said, we come back and read this again. Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16. One more time, please.
Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
And that's why this is so important. And why it's so important to us as a people, because we were the people that were not, for 450 years, we weren't allowed to read. If even a white person was caught teaching slaves, the natives, how to read, there would be some serious consequences, repercussions, teaching us how to read. And you got to ask yourself a question, why? Why would it be so... critical, so criminal about teaching the slaves how to read? Because if we started to actually read the Bible, we would have seen a lot sooner how much lies were being forced upon us. As black people, so-called Mexicans, or Native Americans, as we was forced to pray to Jesus, as we clasped our hands in prayer and we bowed our heads, which is nowhere in the Bible either. But as we did this, we're praying to a white image. We're praying to a blonde-haired, blue-eyed image of Jesus. That as I lay me down to sleep, I pray, Lord, my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray, Lord, my soul to take. But we're praying that to somebody who looks just like the one who's whipping me. We're praying that it looks just like somebody, the one beating me, whipping me, the one who just raped my mother, just raped me. I'm praying to Jesus to come and save me from this, but the Jesus I've been trying to pray to looks just like the person who just brutalized me. And I'm up against Jesus to want to have revenge. I might know vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So I got, if I'm going to be a good Christian, so I might be able to get to the pearly gates. I cannot lay my hand. I can't treat white people the way they've been treating me. You know, you reap what you sow. I barely had that thought in my mind at the threat of death, at the threat of more brutalizing, at the threat of my family, the small family I have now, being sold. I'll never see my kids again. I'll never see my parents again. So let me just shut up and be happy. Let me just accept whatever white people say at the risk of being, again, whipped, being tortured, being thrown in jail, being lynched. I better just accept white people's authority because they said it. I better not question their authority. As a black man growing up during those times, we're not even, let alone a white child, let alone a white woman. You better walk and accept when they call you boy. When a 13-year-old white boy calls a 50-year-old man boy, he better, yes, sir. No, sir. This went on for all this time. So, again, this was them completely making sure our minds, our spirits, our souls was whitewashed. To the point, it's so bad to the point where not understanding the people of the Bible were people of melanin, people of color. When a lot of us would get up some money, one thing that we would try to bleach our skin. Literally bleach, like how can I become lighter? So I might be accepted as a human. Remember, even in the Constitution that was established here in so-called America, blacks and Native Americans was only considered 3/5 of a man. That has never been changed. When they came up with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution that and the preamble, we find these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That whole statement was for white people. Because when that statement was made, where were blacks at? Deep in the heart of slavery. Where were Native Americans at? Being forced off the land they had been living on, dwelling on for thousands of years, and forced into the most unproductive, nutrient-less land available. So, to come back now and read Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. We were never given that option. So what do we as a people who have been brutalized and colonized have to turn to? That's why we play the numbers. Because if I had a dream about a spider, then that means this is going to be the number. And now maybe when I go play the numbers, oh shit, so now I can feed my family for a week now. Because we ain't got no money. But by doing it this way, we get fed. And then it's funny how the numbers was illegal for black folks because, yeah, you had some black folks that was getting rich, but it was also a way to spread a little bit of money throughout the whole community. To help the whole community keep going. For us, it was outlawed, but then they take it in. The exact same state lotteries that are played every day and not here in America is a great thing. But guess where that whole concept and even the rules came from? Black people playing the numbers. The ghettos and the slums. But let us do it, it's criminalized. Let us do it, that's them niggas, that's them thugs, that's them thieves, that's criminal-minded, that's totally uncivilized. But now for the white privilege do it, it's just a state lottery. So for all the people they locked up running numbers, when they started state lotteries, did they go and free all those people? Hell no, you know they didn't. You know they didn't. But to keep this whitewashing in our minds, for when we're not reading the Bible until we've been conditioned. So now we come back, and now even in our education, as we start going to school, Black people was only given the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. So you can sign your name with an X. Or you might get about a third grade education because you said to go and be a sharecropper. You said to go out and work the fields. You had to work. But a third grade education, that's still pretty much basically illiterate. Your reading comprehension is still subpar. So now, if we go back, people have a high rate of illiteracy still. So our Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitian, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Southern Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, so-called Mexicans. We still have the highest rates of illiteracy. Because now, to read, you're whitewashed. Among Black people, if you speak proper and can read, you're white, well, you're acting white. So the whole pressure, the peer pressure of having to keep it real, keep it ghetto, be a nigger, be to debase yourself, that's still being imposed upon us to where we're not reading. And then when we come back and we actually seek out the book of the Lord and read, we're still having to fight generations of their lives being imposed upon us. That's why one of the first things we come into, now all of a sudden it's, well, color doesn't matter. I love them anyway. Because now we can actually read what it says, and like, well, why should that matter? And our retort to that same reply is, well, if color don't matter, then why don't you just teach the truth in the first place? If color don't matter. But we know damn well color does matter. Because how many white men are we going to have their white daughters bowing down to a Black image of Jesus? How many white people might grow a conscience? We're whipping, we're beating, we're torturing, we're brutalizing these dark people. But hold up, Jesus is dark. Now, if Jesus is dark, and if Jesus is a Jew, then what color are the Jews? Then what color were the people that Moses freed out of Israel? And what happened to that nation that brutalized the Israelites then? There's no way they wanted that to happen. They wanted to delay that process as much as humanly possible. So as we have these classes, and again, I'm older. I'm 53 years old. So I'm not as quick-witted as you might see a lot of other teachers on YouTube at the street speakings, just holding the debates and just quick like that. I'm not there. At one time I was, but I'm not there. So a lot of our classes, they do get stretched out because it's really come back to understanding just how much we've been lied to and how much of the white lies, the whitewashing, is still imprinted upon our brains. Even our comments of an Israelite, there's times I still got to remember a lot of things I think is Christian or I think is what it means to be a Hebrew Israelite is still coming from a white man's perspective. And this is what's leading us to, let's finish this, give me Isaiah 34:16 one more time from the top.
Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail.
None of the prophecies is ever going to fail from when it comes to what the Bible is talking about. None of the prophecies are going to fail. But as much as our people still think that the Bible is the white man's book, a lot of people, they fight us when we come out and we pull the Bible out. And they're like, why are you reading for the white man's book? Because it's not the white man's book. But that has been so heavily imposed upon us that we reject our own history. We reject our own words. So now we can fall for the Quran, the Hadith, the 48 laws of power, the art of war. Anybody who just writes a book, Dr. Seuss down there. We can go for that, but now when it comes to the Bible, there's this almost unspoken rule that that's the white man's book. And that's the white man's religion. So our people reject the word of God. They reject the scriptures, which is their history. Because of this thing, this taste that's been left in their mouth that the Bible is the white man's book. The Bible is the Catholic's book. The Bible is the Mormon's book. The Bible is the Jehovah's Witness book. And then it's funny. When you do the history on the Bible, when King James, who, by the way, was a white man, he was a blue man, he had history and historicity and archaeology that can show and prove that King James was black. He was an Israelite. What was my point? Don't rush me. Oh, it's funny how King James protected 53 of the top linguists in Hebrew, Greek, and English to have them translate the scrolls that was being used at the time. That when they translated, and it took them like 6 months to translate the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin scrolls into the Bible. Mind you, before King James said it done, there were no chapters and verses. There's no chapters and verses. The chapters and verses was used by the translators so they would know where they were at in the translations. And when they was translated from the Hebrew into the English, it was written in chapter verse form so they knew where they were at. When it was translated from the Greek into the English, in chapters and verses, so they could know where they were at. When they took the Latin and translated the Latin from Latin into English, that's why it was put in chapters and verses. So then they went back and they diligently compared to make sure they was getting the most accurate translation possible. That happened in the year 1611. And to show King James' appreciation, to protect these scholars, to translate the scrolls in Hebrew and Latin, they named it the King James Bible. Because remember, before that time, anybody caught trying to translate the Bible into English was put to death. Wycliffe, all by himself, no other help to make sure he was translating everything correctly, he had an English Bible. He was put to death. He was burned at the stake. The Bishop's Bible, people were burned at the stake. The Catholic Church was making sure that the only people who could read the Bible, that's why it was written in Latin, so that you had to either go to university or you had to trust that the cardinals, the bishops, the priests that were over these the churches, that they could do basically whatever they wanted. But since you couldn't read Latin, you couldn't say nothing. So if they robbed you, if they raped you, whatever it is they were doing, you couldn't go back and read the scripture and say, hold on, wait a minute, that's wrong. The Catholic Church were the first ones in making sure that didn't happen. And that gave the Pope total autonomy. He could do whatever he wanted because he was the vicar of God. He's the father of all fathers. He's the only one who speaks to God. So his power would challenge the power of the kings of who had more authority. So when King James did that, it was also a political move that now you could challenge the authority You can challenge the rulings of the priests, of the Pope, even, because you can now read the Bible in common language, in common English, to know what was being said and know what was proper or not. So from 1611, when the Bible, that Bible was first produced, all the way up through 1970, that was the only Bible used. Every president in America was pointing on the King James Bible. But now you have 1970, now you start having integration. Now we have black folks and Native Americans on reservations, black folks getting the most subpar education possible. Now there's an intermingling of the educational sources. All of a sudden now we have to get the new King James Version. All of a sudden now, that's when you start seeing almost like a rash popping up on the skin, just popping up everywhere, all these new translations. God's, the Good News, the Woman's Bible, the New Revised Version. So from 1611 to 1970, it was fine. But now all of a sudden, now the education standards in America have changed. And now we get brand new Bibles. Now we get told that, oh, well, this is easy to understand. Has been stripped. Has been obliterated. So that now we're reading, but even our perception is still given to us by what? The colonists. Now, we're still looking at this from their eyes, even though now we say that we're reading. But, and this is a question I was asked, where can you find Methodists in the Bible? That God, Jesus come to save the Methodists. Where can you find the word, besides John the Baptist, where does Jesus say he's coming to save the Baptists? You can't even find the word Catholic in the Bible. Southern Baptist, Episcopalian. Episcopal means letter. Where did Christ come from, Episcopalian? On top of millions of people coming from these religions that they've never read anywhere in the Bible. And they believe wholeheartedly with their hearts because of these lies and the religion that's been imposed upon us, that they really are serving and worshiping Jesus Christ. And that everything they're doing is going to get them into heaven. The pearly gates, floating on the cloud with the harp, maybe in a Greek toga, just eating milk and honey, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That is still heavily impressed upon our minds. Again, even to the point of what is profanity? What is profanity? As a good colonized Christian, you better not cuss. As a good colonized Christian, you better not curse. The bad boys, you know, when they show, you know, the going back to the 50s, you was a bad boy if you smoked in the bathroom. You slicked your hair back, you wore leather, and you cussed. You were a bad, oh, rode a motorcycle? You were a bad boy. That was the epitome of what every girl wanted, was that bad boy, that rebel without a cause, that James Dean character, that Barnsley character. That was cool. And they might cuss. And that was deemed unchristian. That was deemed as layman or as worldly as you can get. And then you better not be listening to a rock and roll that came from black people. That was Little Richard, which was derived from the rhythm and blues, that goes directly back to black people. Oh, no, you bring up this devilish, satanic music that's of the devil. Just on more of the implications that anything that derives and came from black people is just wrong. That everything wrong in the world is the fault of black people. So it says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. The answers that we find in the Bible, when you actually read, is not going to fail you like religion has. That what has failed us in this country? How many vets have fought for this country and came back here to ridicule? You're fighting for the freedom of the European forces. You're fighting for the freedom of world freedom. That's what we had, World War I, World War II. Just come back into America and be treated even less than a dog still. To be, you better ride in the back of the bus.
You think that would have elevated you to hero status?
Anywhere else?
Yeah.
But you come back here and you're marginalized. You fought for freedom. Let's go to Korea. Korea has free Koreans. We had to give them democracy. To come back here and still fight racism. But if I'm an American, I fight for my country, then maybe I might be recognized as a human. Then maybe I might be recognized that I am somebody. Let me get education. I got my high school diploma. I got a college diploma. But I'm still marginalized that I have to live in the black section of the city. The ghettos and the slums. Where the education office is lower. And it's a police state. And if I dare try and move out of that neighborhood, because now I have an education. Now I'm not just a field hand. I've got a college education. Let me move to a white neighborhood. There's going to be crosses. I'm going to be, they're going to have to call the National Guard for my kids to go to school. But I got my education. I was told if I do this, that I would now finally be accepted as an American citizen. To enjoy the freedoms and the liberties that American citizens get. Then maybe we got to vote. Then maybe we got to vote. But then you come back with a grandfather's laws, a Jim Crow grandfather's laws, that if my grandfather was a slave, that I can't vote? Y'all can change the rules as you go? Then we're going to try to form our own community then. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Black Wall Street. As we're surviving among ourselves, and we're not just a bunch of poor sharecroppers. The very first aerial attack in history was against the black section of Tulsa, Oklahoma, but the destruction of Black Wall Street. That's the first time America ever had an airstrike, ever, was to make sure Black Wall Street was destroyed. I'm going to try and become an entertainer then. I'm going to try and become whatever it is that you say. What rules do I got to follow now that I might finally be accepted to where now in 2020, we're still talking about Black Lives Matter? We just matter. And that's take it as an insult. Oh, but now we have critical race teaching. We can't be critical of bringing out the truth of what white people did because it might make their kids feel bad. Everything's stacked against us. This is why it says, I'll get it. It's probably him. So Isaiah, again, chapter 34, verse 16.
Yes.
Forgive my eyes, y'all. Give me 1 second. So it says, seek ye out of Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, and none shall want her meat. And when it comes to getting the true answers about God's feelings about anything, you never find anything better than the Bible to get true answers and true justice of what God's talking about. And his spirit has gathered them. So we want to make sure that we're reading from the Bible. I know I've taken a long time, and I did to myself again. I only got a few minutes left, about 20 minutes left, before we got to shut this down and get ready for go to work again tonight. I now want to go to Revelations. And now I want to go to the book of Revelations. Chapter 18. And verse 4. And it reads. I'm sorry, verse 1. Revelation 18, I'm sorry, verse 1. It says, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. The earth was lighted with his glory. Again, this is a prophecy, a prophecy that John the Revelator was giving us when he was exiled on the island of Patmos. So he saw an angel come down from heaven, having great power, and his aura lighted the earth. Right, verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, "Babylon the Great is fallen." So he's looking at a place that's being called Babylon the Great. Now, just like you had the Tower of Babel, this is what the word Babylon comes from, the word Babel, which goes back to the Tower of Babel. That was actually constructed by the chief person. His name was Nimrod. Nimrod had gathered all the people of the earth together after the flood and had built this city in direct defiance of God. Part of Nimrod's defiance of God was that man is responsible for what happened. That you have to take matters in your own hands. That you can't depend on a God to make you happy, rich, sad, or what have you. That the power is in your own hands. So knowing that the flood had just happened and earth is now obviously starting to repopulate, he came up with this now idea in defiance of God that now a tower should be built that's so high that if God ever decided that he's going to get so upset with us that he would flood the earth again, even though God has already promised Noah that was not going to happen, that he was not going to destroy the earth with water for his wickedness. But Nimrod had convinced the nations in his one world order type of mindset that we're going to save ourselves. We don't come up and do things on our own. And they built this tower. It was called the Tower of Babel. When the Lord seen this, and all nations were gathered and worshiping how they wanted to worship, being responsible for their own happiness, following their own minds and imagination of whatever they felt right to them. When the Lord saw this, him and the angels came down. And there, that's when the different languages of the earth was first originated, at the Tower of Babel. So you had all nations gathered there now with all their languages, and there was a division. Right? That was the original Tower of Babel or Babylon. Knowing that the word Babel means confusion. Because if everybody was speaking their own language and not worshiping their own way, it was a place of great confusion in a one world order scenario back then. Alexander came back during the time of the Greeks, trying to follow the exact same thing. trying to connect and wanted to connect all people, bring all people together under the Greek Empire, and worship the way of the Greeks, which was whatever makes you feel good, do it. Following ancient Babylon. Now we have the third Babylon, which is great. And now this angel is in this vision that John is having in Revelation 18:2. Now we're seeing that it's about to be the final destruction of this final Babylon. So he's saying, the angel is crying out of Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So there's a place on the planet, and I'm going to get this up now also. Give me 1 second, y'all. I'm going to ask, you know, he's joining me again. It's Amos chapter 9, I think it's verse 10, if I'm correct. And it says, the eyes of the Lord God upon the sinful kingdom. Is it verse 9? Verse 8?
Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom.
Now, this here is a twofold scripture. Back then, the sinful kingdom was obviously Jerusalem. It was Israel, right? God was looking at how sinful we as Israelites had become, and now we were about to be kicked out of the promised land, the Holy Land. That happened in 722 BC. I'm sorry. Yeah, 722 BC. The northern kingdom of Israel was kicked out of our homeland and came over to the Americas, became the natives of the Americas. In 70 AD, the southern kingdom of Judah was finally expelled out of our homeland, and that's when we fled from Jerusalem down into the interiors of Africa, also spread throughout Europe or what have you. So that happened then, but now it says history repeats itself. So if you read it one more time now.
Amos chapter 9, verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom.
Now, there's a lot of now that the eyes of the Lord God are upon a sinful kingdom. The sinful kingdom is referred to now is the same one that John the Revelator is giving us a prophecy from his time about this new place that's going to be called Babylon the Great. That in this place where it's the sinful kingdom and it's the habitation of devils. A devil is sometimes a deceiver. That there's a place on earth now that if there's any deception, there's one place on the planet earth you can find it at. If there's any lies being taught, pushed, or promoted, there's one place on the planet Earth, there's one kingdom on the planet Earth today that fits this description. So the eyes of the Lord God upon the sinful kingdom, go ahead.
And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth.
And now, this is how we know that this scripture, this prophecy is referring to this modern day place, because the land of Israel is still there. The land of Israel was not destroyed off the face of the earth. What place is going to be destroyed off the face of the earth? Babylon the Great is going to be destroyed off the face of the earth. So thank you for that. Keep reading.
Saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob.
I'm not going to utterly destroy the 12 tribes when I destroy this sinful kingdom. Go ahead.
Saith the Lord. For lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve.
Go ahead.
Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth.
Read on.
All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword.
So all the sinners of God's people are going to die by the sword in this place called Babylon the Great. That now we get to a point, that's that there's a place on earth that's the most sinful above anywhere else on the earth. There's a kingdom that is more sinful, that pushes sin, that pushes lies, that pushes deception more than any other place on the planet earth. So now in Revelation 18:2, I'll read 18:2, then you come up with 3. And he says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. A hold is like a prison. That there's a place where every foul spirit can be found. And what John the Revelator is describing as Babylon the Great. A place where you can have all nations gathered together worshiping how they want to worship. There's no place like that on the planet Earth like America that has all nations with all their religions, with all their languages, with all their philosophies gathered together in one place. There's no kingdom like that on the planet Earth besides America, where you can literally find every single nationality in America. You don't find that nowhere else in the world. And where everybody is free to worship, except for Israelites, they're free to worship the way they want to worship. So it's a hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Everything that God hates or can't stand, that God finds an abomination, can be found in this one kingdom, this one place. That here John the Revelator is calling it Babylon the Great. Verse 3, please.
Revelation 18, verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.
It says all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. When you drink wine, say you got drinking and driving. The charge that you'll be charged with is called a DUI. Driving under the influence. So what nation has more influence over the whole entire earth? That also fits the description of having being a hold of every foul spirit. That also fits the description of that everything God can't stand is promoted and pushed in this one kingdom. As we're going to see and find out, it's not the God blessing of America. It is most definitely America, and that their influence has touched the whole world. Mind you, remember, all oil, the petrodollar, all oil sold on the planet Earth between countries and nations has got to be purchased or used. The American dollar has to be used. If Russia sells oil to China, They share a border. Guess what they had to sell Russian oil to China? Guess what currency has to be used? The petrodollar. The American dollar. If Libya wants to sell oil to Egypt, to Muslim countries, guess what they have to sell the oil in what currency? American currency. You know, there's only one kingdom that's got their influence over the whole entire planet. It's America. Verse 3, reading on.
And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her.
Have fornication. Down and accept. So they're accepting the way they call it westernization or becoming Americanized. Read.
And the merchants of the earth.
Here it goes right here. The petrodollar. And the merchants of the earth. Go ahead.
Are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Reading on.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
Right. So for the destruction that's coming to this place, the Lord has come to the time where the Lord is telling his people to come out of this place mentally. Because we know the physical salvation, just like Moses was sent by God to physically bring the Israelites out of ancient Egypt, Christ is going to be the one who physically delivers the Israelites out of Egypt, Babylon the Great. But before the physical salvation actually takes place. He's telling us not to be partakers of the sins, of the unclean birds, of the foul spirits. Don't partake in these things the American way, the American religion, the American lives, the American lifestyle. Don't partake in that. So we don't receive of her plagues. And we know the final plague is coming, not just like this pandemic, the COVID that's going down, but the actual plague of the destruction that the Lord is going to bring. Give me Isaiah 66, verse 15. Give me the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, and verse 15 now.
Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 15. For behold, and with his chariots, like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many.
Yeah, the slain of the Lord is going to be many. That the Lord's going to come back, and there's going to be a lot of killing. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed. I can't put it in words right now.
And the river shall turn to blood. As much bloodshed is going to be done, or killing is going to be done.
Yeah, it's going to be to what from sea to shining sea. We know it's going to be wiped out. It's going to be done from the nuclear assault that's going to impact America from the nations to the Lord's fire. I've been researching recently. I got put together. Go back and look at the Ring of Fire, and not the Johnny Cash song, but the Ring of Fire and the super volcano, the Yellowstone super volcano. There's a super volcano that basically is the distance of like three states. Yellowstone is like at the center of this super volcano. And it said that, I'm not just going to that class, not for today, but that when that super volcano goes off, there literally will be nothing able to survive. So you have volcanoes popping off, which is fire from the Lord. You've got nuclear weapons, nuclear arsenals being here in America also from the nations. This is going to be a lot of killing. And if you're not on these chariots of the Lord, when he brings them, you're not going to make it past that destruction. It's not going to happen. So to come back now and understand what things are clean and unclean, what things are profane and filthy in the eyes of God. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26 and 27. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26 and 27. Now, from our journeys here in America and having the white man's philosophy, mind, doctrines, outlook, perspectives on everything, we have really severely been polluted. We have really severely been defiled. And this is what the Lord is going to tell us here right here. So Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26.
Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. Her priests have violated my law.
So now to the point where even our pastors, our reverends, our leaders, they teach us to violate God's law. We know from Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Damn. We know from Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, that none of God's law is ever done. Christ did not come to do away with God's law. That was given to us so that when we didn't read the Old Testament, and we was only given a Bible, a New Revised Bible, a Good News Bible, then it's at the New Testament, Matthew through Revelations, Psalms and Proverbs, so that it can be justified why we don't have to keep God's law no more. Line, for that lie, hook, line, and sinker, we swallowed it down whole. So now our preachers, our priests, our teachers are teaching us to violate God's law, particularly here in a place that puts on the money in God we trust, in a place where their presidents are sworn in on the Bible, then the Bible's put down, and we're judged according to their own constitutions, their own laws, not by God's law. So it says, her priests have violated my law, Dad.
And have profaned my holy things.
And now we have profaned God's holy things. The things that God finds sacred. The things that God finds pure. Now they're being profaned. Again, profane being the root of the word profanity. Go ahead.
And have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane.
And our teachers are leaders for being so heavily indoctrinated with 500 years of just the white man's pressure, the white man's lies, the white man's duress. Then now our people have not been taught how to put the difference between what's holy and what is profane. What God finds good and what God finds evil. Reading on.
Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean.
And now we don't know the difference between what God calls unclean and what God calls clean. Now we only know what it means to be clean by what was forced upon us through their form of Christianity. We don't know what's unclean, again, through what they deem in their own laws and what they came up with as being unclean, uncivilized, niggerish, but not according to what God has said. Reading on.
And have hid their eyes from my Sabbath.
And who has taught us that Sunday was the Sabbath since they got here? That white boy first got here. Who changed the Sabbath from God's? First off, God never named the days Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Who put names to the names of the week? White people. The Israelites, God never did that. God always said the seventh day was the Sabbath. God never changed that. But who came back and changed Saturday, so-called Saturday, being the Sabbath, to Sunday? Who taught that and has pushed that all over the world now? But especially in the Americas. To where you're a good Christian if you go to church on Sunday. But thank God it's Friday. Oh God, it was Friday night. It was such a thrill. And it's all 50 away. And it's not about Friday night being the Sabbath. That's not the party, drink, and let loose. Because Sunday, so as taught us that now, Sunday is God's day. Sunday is the Sabbath. Who pushed that on us? So that we don't know even what day to come together to serve God, to pray to our God. Reading on.
And I am profaned among them.
And now to do things God's way, that's profane. That's off. That's, you're a Bible pusher. You're a Bible thumper. Don't impose your Bible scriptures and verses upon my civil liberties and my freedoms. But our leaders have not taught us God's ways. We've been taught how to be good Christians. We've been taught how to be good citizens according to what this society says. Our whole idea of what is good compared to what is evil has nothing to do with what the Bible says, what God says and has recorded in the Bible. And we've been taught this way for generations
since 1492, when Columbus first landed in the Western Hemisphere. So our priests, our teachers, our leaders, they've taught us astray. Give me Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 12, then Isaiah 9, 16.
Isaiah chapter 3 verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors.
As for God's people, children are oppressing us, not wise people. Not a Joel Osteen spiritual. He's not, well, that's not the spirit of God he's dealing with. They're oppressing us. That if you don't be the type of Christian they say, you're wrong, you're wicked, you're a heathen, you're a pagan, you're going to hell. If you don't worship their form of Christianity, if you don't accept their form of being civil, if you don't accept their form of morals, we're being oppressed by a bunch of children. That, talking about the Southern white man, people that were bungee cord jump, daredevils, a goddamn evil Knievel. That's not cool. But that whole bad boy, Chris Blaine, mind freak type of mentality, that's what's holding us down. I want to party, I want to do sex, drugs, and rock and roll like a rock star. I want to party like a rock star. Because they have fun. Because that's having a life. All of it is profane. All of it's wrong. Again, let it be one of our people. You get some money. I was one of the first things you do is dye your hair blonde. One of the first things you're going to do is get plastic surgery. Why? Because of this indoctrination we've had for the past 500 years, you don't love yourself. So if you can make yourself look more white, go get the plastic surgery, get the rhinoplasty. Like a white person. Make sure you get the square jawline like a white person. Make sure you're wearing the long extensions and get the long hair like a white person. Put a perm, a conch, a jerry curl, so you might have long, good hair, that good hair, like a white person. Our leaders have taught us wrong, and that's what's holding us back. We've been oppressed. Reading on.
And women rule over them.
And now it's to a point where now women rule over us. That's not the order God left. Isaiah 9:16 now.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 16. For the leaders of this people caused them to err.
For our leaders, philosophies, doctrines, religion, mindsets, our leaders cause us to err when it comes to God. Reading on.
And they that are led of them are destroyed.
And for the people that are following these leaders, we're destroyed. What is it that we're destroyed for? Let's get Hosea chapter 4, verse 6.
Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge.
So what is it we're destroyed for? Following these leaders who don't know the Bible? We're destroyed for God's knowledge. We don't know how God wants things done. Because we're following leaders who weren't taught how to do things the way God actually wants things done. Or doctorate or degree. That's why they go to theological school. So it can be recorded that you went and you got enough hours in to learn how to teach
to blind or teach religion the way white people want you to. You are now certified as a reverend, as a pastor, as what have you, by the authority of this society to lead a congregation, to lead people in the lies that have been established in America. Then now you're an ordained minister. Now you're an ordained pastor. Now you're an ordained reverend to make sure you are going to teach the lies that have been pushed upon us as a people since 1492. You weren't established by God. God did not send you. God gave him Isaac and Jacob. What verse are we in? Are we going to say something?
I was just saying, I'm ordained, certified, got myself a degree, pork chop preacher.
Yeah. So now, Hosea 4 and 6 says,
I will also reject
you. No, from the top.
Okay. Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Because we follow leaders who don't know the Bible. Go ahead.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge.
And then when somebody trying to show you guys knowledge, go ahead.
I will also reject thee.
Our people reject God's knowledge, so that God is rejecting us. Go ahead.
That thou shalt be no priest to me.
So now God is not accepting us as his priests. Because now, I know it says more, but I don't want that right now. Let's get, what is a priest supposed to be doing? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23. We're going to end it with that because we're going to get ready for tonight.
Ezekiel chapter 23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane.
The priest of God, the priest of the God of the Bible, the reverends, the bishops, the deacons that are actually sent by God are supposed to be teaching God's people the difference between what God calls holy and what God calls profane or profanity. Go ahead.
And cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
And cause the people to be able to discern what God calls clean and what God calls unclean. So I'm in this class tonight with that. Let me highlight this so I know where I finished that. Yeah, we'll end this one here tonight here. And again, brothers and sisters, everybody who might be listening to one of the archive shows, forgive me for my disorganization. It's totally my fault. The scripture says I'm not supposed to come as a novice or as an amateur who doesn't know what they're doing. And I keep saying this over the past years, that I need to get on top of these things. So forgive. Still a work in progress. No, by no means have I perfected this. Striving for it, striving towards it. So with that, thank you everybody for tuning in. I'm gonna try and hit the class back up. Most guys will. Hopefully nothing happens. Monday. I'm gonna try and do it. Probably tomorrow evening. We'll probably do it around 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Because that'll give us time to get in the morning. We're going to do another all-night, literally, an all-nighter tonight. Which are pretty exhausting. We're going to get in, have to get some type of rest. Because, again, we have to hit the plantation again tomorrow evening. But in doing so, if I can get the class started at 6, and we go from 6 to 8, then there has to be so much just pressure in trying to get the class done and then also still getting these rounds done. Any words? Anything? All right, then, with that, everybody that did tune in, hopefully this was edifying. Hopefully you're able to get something from it. And we're going to continue just chipping away. Continue to keep sanctifying and try to keep watching our own minds, our own spirits, as well as the spirits of everybody around us, to really go ahead and shake off and prepare ourselves for Christ. It says now the bridegroom is ready for the marriage. And now we've been cleaned up enough that now Christ is ready to accept us. Because we put off the old man and been reborn in the new. All right? So with that, my name is Mashaba.
You know what I'm talking
about? And we would like to go ahead and say
Shalom.
Shalom.